She hated with a lust for revenge that frightened me. But I wouldn't have it. And at last she says, very quietly, "Well, money we must have, and if you will not steal it, well, there is only one other way, though I would do almost anything to avoid it. We must go to Memphis," says she. "It's on the river, not more than 50 miles from here, so far as I can judge, and there we can find the money." And to my astonishment, she began to weep, great tears rolling down her cheeks. She dashed them away and then fumbled inside her dress, and after a moment she produced a paper, soiled but very carefully folded, which she passed to me. Wondering, I opened it and saw that it was a bill of sale, dated February 1843, for one Cassie, a Negro girl, the property of one Angel de Marmalade, I swear that was the name, of New Orleans, now duly sold and delivered to Fitzroy Howard of San Antonio de Bexar. There was another scrap of paper with it, words scrawled on it in a coarse, lumpy hand. "Wench, Cassie, 10 lashes, $1, and a signature that was illegible. She drew away and spoke with her head turned from me. "That was my second bill of sale. I was 14. I stole it from Howard when he was drunk, and I ran from him. They caught me, but he was dead by then, and when they auctioned me with his other goods, they didn't bother to look for the old bill. I kept it to remember. So when I was free, I should never forget what it was like to be a slave." And she swung her head round to stare at me, her eyes brimming. "I never thought it might serve to win my freedom. But it will."
"How, in heaven's name?"
"You'll carry it to Memphis. You'll be Mr. Fitzroy Howard. No one knows him this far north. He died in Texas 4 years ago. 4 years he's been screaming in hell. And you'll sell me in Memphis. I'll fetch a fine price, $1,000, $2,000, maybe $3,000 for a choice musty wench, only 19 and schooled in a New Orleans brothel. Wait, if you're sold, how will you get away?"
"I can run. Oh, believe me, I can run. The moment you have the money, you'll buy passages on a boat north. Leave it to me to run at the right time. We'll meet and go aboard together. You'll be what they call a nigger stealer then, and I a runaway slave. But they won't catch us. First class passengers to Louisville. Oh, we'll be safe enough, if you keep our bargain."
Well, it had crossed my mind, of course, but she was as quick as I was. "If I didn't get out of Memphis," says she, slowly and intently, looking into my face, "I'd tell them how we had run together, and you had killed 2 men back in Mississippi, and where the bodies were. It may cost me my life, but it will certainly cost you yours."
"I wouldn't dream of leaving you," says I. "Not for a moment. But I say, Cassie, this is a top-hole plan, absolutely splendid." She gazed at me.
"Perhaps it seems a little thing to you, to be placed on a block, and auctioned like a beast to the highest bidder, to be pawed over and fumbled by dirty hands."
The tears were starting again, but her voice never shook.
"How could you even begin to imagine it? The hideous shame. The humiliation.